Hello and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Monday, that one day before all the celebrations of Independence Day. So wherever you are, be careful. Take precautions. Don't imbibe and then do your fireworks. take all the safe and sane things you can do as you enjoy the Independence Day, which seriously, we celebrate the independence of our country. From another country. And who knows? We've been fighting with ourselves ever since, haven't we, really? Isn't that just the truth? Welcome to the program today. As Ethel Merman sang in her opening song, this is the business where people perform even if things might not be going so well. So remind yourself of that next time you go out and see a show and show your appreciation for people. The outdoor musical season, well, it has more than just begun. It has been underway for some time in some places, and we're going to talk during the process of the show today about some more outdoor and indoor shows taking place. My first guest, actually, they're indoor and then they're outdoor. They're both. So we'll talk about both of those as we talk about the White Theater on the campus of the Jewish Community Center, the 12th season at the White Theater. Of course, they've been around a lot longer than that because I remember doing a show with the Jewish Community Center back in the 70s.
I won't tell anyone.
So they've been around for a lot longer than 12th. But this is the 12th season in the White Theater where they are presenting Beauty and the Beast. It'll be at the White Theater July the 8th. I don't know how I can make that mistake. July 8th through the 23rd. They'll have a few days off, five, I guess. Then they'll do the same show virtually, probably with some changes, at Theater in the Park for a couple of weekends as well. So busy, busy times for the cast of Beauty and the Beast. And with us to tell us all about Jason Chandley, who is the facility and production manager for the J. The Jewish Community Center, we've been calling it the J the last few years.
Yes, we have officially, I guess, changed our tagline to the J a couple of years ago, actually.
Yeah.
So.
Now, are they happy with that change?
Sure, it shortens it, and that's kind of what we called it anyway.
So, might as well
make it official.
Oh, sure, and Wendy Music is with us as well. She plays the role of Mrs. Potts in the show.
It's great to be here.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Especially on the day before, we're in the middle of that holiday weekend, so mm-hmm. a lot of people are already into heavy celebrating by now. It's kind of deserted at the station right now, actually, for that very reason. But welcome to the show. Thanks for taking part of your holiday weekend off to talk with us. Beauty and the Beast. Jason is in charge of lighting design, the set, costumes, and then I just gave up and wrote et cetera.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah, pretty much. Being the running the program, running the theater itself, I just kind of oversee every aspect of it in addition to various design aspects. This show particularly focusing on lighting design predominantly. But then I help the other departments with whatever they need, fabricating costumes and wiring LED lights and things and building mm-hmm. scenic pieces and all those good things.
I would think this would have several big challenges. The first thing that comes to most people's mind is probably the costumes.
Oi.
But you also said, oh, yeah. Oi is correct.
Oi, yes.
Special events, special effects,
yeah.
things of that nature. But especially, I would think the costumes and the makeup for this would have to be an out-of-this-world responsibility.
They are. And it's one of those shows that you don't choose and you don't take on, you know, with a light heart. You know mm-hmm. what you're going into. It's, you know, kind of like when you do Mary Poppins. You know the iconic look and what it is. And when you do Beauty and the Beast, it's not like you have normal people just dancing around the stage. You have a teapot. You have a wardrobe. You have some sort of weird lion meets ape meets gorilla person thing. So we knew what we were getting into and what we were going to bite off, and we chose to use it as a learning tool and a challenge, and we're building everything in-house. Our costume designer, Julia Rass, who's brilliant on
absolutely
so many things, she's come up with so many great ideas for everything from the wardrobe. There's a, you know, Madame de la Grande Bouche, the wardrobe, to Mrs. Potts's costume, mm-hmm. which she tried on last night, and it was humorous trying to see her go through a door.
Need assistance to make it through those doors.
I see.
It's been a fun challenge, and Julia's designs are really neat and fun, and we've learned a lot. We've made a lot of mistakes. We have fixed them. Yeah, it's a process, and we're growing as artists, and that's kind of the, I think, the biggest excitement mm-hmm. that's going sure. on.
So now you play the role, Wendy. You play the role of Mrs. Potts.
Yes, I get to play the wonderful role of Mrs. Potts. She's a lovely character. She's very warm and very loving, but she has an inner strength about her, even though we don't have a lot of backstory to this particular musical, although the recent production of it kind of tried to fill in some of that backstory for us. We do have some nice indicators. You know, she's bubbly, as you might expect a teapot to be, and friendly and encouraging. But, you know, I think there's one definite point when everybody else is willing to give up, and she's not. And so I think that's a really exciting character to play in many ways, and somebody who I hope is a lot like myself in real life.
Oh, yes.
About how many characters are on stage?
Oh, that's an interesting thing that we have with this show. Typically, this show is done with lots and lots of people. But I believe we only have 21 characters. Mm-hmm. So several of us are portraying other characters in other places. Some people are doing multiple costume changes within even one song. Yeah. Our guest has so many different moving parts that it's really a blessing, because everyone in this cast, I think, is highly encouraged to give their best and very positive, as well as the cast and crew all together are. So, as he said, we're learning a lot, but I think everybody's willing to learn, and they're very flexible, and that's hopefully a joyful thing that will come across on the stage as well.
Yeah, you play multiple characters yourself.
I do. At the very beginning, I'm Lady with Babies. I don't just have one. I have two. And that's fun. And then I get to be Mrs. Potts in her pot. And then obviously I get to be Mrs. Potts as a human with legs and arms that can move about freely. And that's very exciting by the end of the show, after being kind of in that statuesque mold for a while.
Yeah, people have ideas of what they think the story is about. Sometimes they're right. Often they are. Sometimes they're not right. And, well, let me ask about the songs first. You just mentioned Be Our Guest. People hear songs, and often, at least I found this to be the case, they can't really tell you where that came from.
Oh,
so they probably hear this song quite a bit, because it's it's copied on variety shows and things like that.
Well, I think one of the probably the most iconic song I am very fortunate to get to sing is the title song, Beauty and the Beast. And everybody associates that very much with Angela Lansbury, and she's such a loving treasure within us and around us. And I think that's a real pleasure for me to get to do. But beyond the Be Our Guest and beyond the Beauty and the Beast and that initial bell song where we're all walking around in the village, there's some just incredibly beautiful songs. Our Beast, Scott, he's just phenomenal. Some of those songs are just tender and wonderful. And then you have joyful, exuberant songs. It's really, I think, got a little bit of something for everybody.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the storyline. As I said, people think they know what it's about, but they're often not right, as far as the inner meaning of what's going on there.
I think it's a story of redemptive love and the power that love has to change something. And, you know, it starts out with, obviously, the Beast is a young man, and he's grown up, and he's been given everything he could want, and he's still not happy, and he's pretty demanding. And a beautiful enchantress is disguised, of course, as an old woman, because that's what we do in these fairy tales. And she tries to offer him a very simple gift of a rose. And he's, why would I want a rose, you know, in return for a place for you to stay at night? I have everything. So she casts this spell, and he's trapped to be on the outside, basically what his heart is on the inside. Ugly. And in beast form. And the only thing, of course, that can save him is true love. Not just for him to love someone, but for him to earn their love in return. And that's where we enter with Belle and that magical power that happens over time when you let your guard down and allow people to see who you are and to help you grow.
2 days ago, I had a very interesting question I really couldn't answer. They said, now, he's a beast. What exactly is he? Do we have any clues? Is he a hybrid
Jason,
of various
think?
Things?
He is. You know, through the research that we had done over the past few months and whatnot, even before we started production, there have been so many variations on a theme. You have not only from the Disney aspect where they, in the 91 animated film, he had a very particular look about him. He was very, more of an anthropomorphized animal, whereas in the new live action remake, he had a lot more human physicality, a lot more human qualities to him. If you look at like the in the theme park stage show at like Walt Disney World, he literally was a big mascot character, and it's like, oh, that's what that is. And I, you know, have seen the show so many times in so many different ways, and I've seen, you know, suggested horns, and that's the only thing they put on him. And then I've seen versions where they have gone full tilt, and he is some weird lion meets a bear that swallowed an orangutan. I don't know. And in our version, we're kind of homogenizing all of it together. We really liked the idea that, especially in the new live action film, that he, his human elements were a little bit more present. And to that end, it made the connection, I think, at least for me as an audience member, it made the connection with the Beast character a little bit easier to handle versus when I saw it when I was a kid in 91, I was scared to death of the Beast, like, frankly. Of course, I was also however old I was at that point. I don't even remember now. But, you know, so we want to make sure that we're telling the human side of the story, not the, you know, beastly, oh, he's scary and, you know, foreboding, and he's, you know, a scary individual that you can't in any way connect with. So we're just doing minimal prosthetics, a lot of hair, a lot of airbrush makeup sort of stuff. He's built up and he's bulky. Scott himself is relatively tall, so that's helpful. And we're making him a little taller. But in our version, he's not too, he's not too over the top. When it comes to
nothing,
the
animal aspect. I know people are wondering, some people at least, is this going to scare my children?
I don't think so. There are moments, of course, that are scary. Like, you know, in the kind of first time we meet the Beast, there's a lot of growling, there's thunder and lightning and stuff like that. So it's treacherous, I would say. But then, especially in the way Scott portrays him, it's so delightful. He finds the humor in the character. As the character is developing
that
his relationship.
Spoiled, childlike character you see through, I think, in some of those things.
Yeah, it's so true. He and the comedy comes out, and especially when he's like, oh, I have to talk to a girl. Great.
She's so rude.
I know. You know. So it's great. And I think that's where the shift starts to happen, and that's where it's like, okay, yes, he was scary, but now, oh, he's funny. I like him. And we go from there.
Tell us more about Scott. He plays the role of the Beast.
He does play the role of the Beast, and he's just absolutely impressive in every way. Actually, I think the entire cast is really very impressive, and I think they did a really good job casting, if I do say so myself. But he's got an incredible voice, and one of the other factors that I think kind of goes into that to play, you see this multidimensional character who's human, who's a beast, who's childlike, who's funny, who gets angry and doesn't really know how to control that. I think his voice shows that too, because you're not just loud and powerful. There's soft and there's growth and there's just color to everything that he gives. And I truly think it's one of those voices that you hear it, and if you're distracted, you'll immediately turn and say, where's that coming from?
I, all through the rehearsal process, and even in tech last night, he sings at the end of Act One, he sings this big, humongous song, and I find myself not doing what I should have been doing, which was writing light cues or making notes or doing what I should, because I was just mesmerized by what he was doing, and I'm like, oh, just don't ever stop singing.
the entire cast pulls out, and you find them coming out of the wings just to watch him sing the same thing they've heard every
times,
night.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
If it's good, it's good.
It
what
is.
What can I tell
it's
you?
It's good.
We're speaking with Jason Chandley and Wendy Musick. Jason being the facilities and production manager. Oh, that sounds like such a hard job. And Wendy Musick plays the role of Mrs. Potts in the White Theater production of Beauty and the Beast, opening on July the 8th. That is this Saturday, and will run periodically through the 23rd. Is it usually, I know there's never a Friday at the Jewish Community Center because it is the Sabbath.
That
but
is, what, yes.
It's basically a Saturday, Sunday, and then some weekdays?
We do Thursday, Saturday evenings, and then Sunday matinees.
Okay. And that will happen through the 23rd, at which point I don't even want to think about this. You don't either. Yeah, well, you're going to move in 5 days over to the stage at Theater in the Park.
We actually move in 1 day.
Right.
So thankfully, this is the fourth time we've done a co-production with Theater in the Park. So we've got that process down. But literally, as soon as we come down on Sunday the 23rd, we start hacking it apart. And the scenic design's done in a way that it's modular. And although it looks massive and big, it comes apart in...
sections
and manageable pieces, and we stick it on a truck like any tour, ship it out to the park, put it back together that night, and then during the day Monday, and then we roll in Monday evening and then start the tech process over again out of the park, and virtually everything transfers really. I take the light board file out there, and they have the same sort of system, we do same plot, and the cues are already there, so it's gone really well with Mary Poppins and Shrek, and then Hairspray being the first one we did in 2013. So it's crazy.
Is the director giving you different directions for either place, or is it basically standard? For instance, has the director said at some point, now, at the J here, we're going to do it this way, but we might have to do this over at Theater in the Park.
This is my first time working with Steven, and he's absolutely delightful. He's really energetic and really encouraging, and I think has a gift of bringing out the best in people. I think having done Mary Poppins last summer at both places, I would expect that there would be some changes so that that acting transfers a further distance, because you're obviously taking things out, and maybe some adjustments to some spacing and some different things that would go on there. But I think most of it transfers pretty well, and it's a different energy level. It's almost like a whole new show that brings you that excitement, which is really great after you've been doing it for 3 weeks to kind of get that opportunity to be re-energized.
Makes for a long run. I mean,
it's like they would do, for instance,
at the new theater, new theater restaurant, long run like
it's,
that.
I think it's really a wonderful thing when you've invested so much of your time and your heart into something to continue to be able to do that. Because I think all of us, we like to perform. We like to be in front of those people and to give them something of ourselves and get something back from them in return. So it's a real pleasure.
Yeah, it's going on now. It opens at the J first this Saturday the 8th. And the number to call for more information, 913-327-8054. And the web address is thejkc.org. The Jewish Community Center is located at 5801 West 115th Street in either Overland Park or Leawood. I can never decide
it
which.
It is officially the Overland Park side of Knoll. Knoll is the dividing line.
Okay, Knoll is the dividing line for that. And the zip code, if you MapQuest things, you really need that, 66211. And it's over there. Well, from the parking lot, you can see the parking garages of Sprint over there.
We are in Sprint's backyard.
But the best way is probably to enter from the Knoll side, I guess.
It's probably the easiest Knoll, either from 115th or even the big Sprint headquarters at 117th. Mm-hmm. There's access points from either of those locations.
And I would check this out, especially for purposes of ticketing, because I suspect the crowds will probably be thick in both of the venues.
They are. Traditionally, we've done really well with these co-productions with Mary Poppins. Last year, we did very well with the attendance of the White Theater, and then when we went out to the park, they were having crowds of 2,000 and more. So it they're very popular shows, especially the Disney shows.
Right.
Every family enjoys a Disney movie, and to see it live on stage is always fun. And then we have the surround events that are going on at the White Theater between backstage tours. You can take a tour after the show and see how the magic is done and special effects and all that stuff and learn about the process and meet the actors. Mm-hmm. We have meet and greets where you can do photos with Belle and the Beast and Mrs. Potts.
Paris Naster plays Belle, and she's fantastic. She and I have got to do some other outings out around town, and she's delightful with the children. She's an incredible performer and talent, and so I think every little girl there is absolutely going to want to get their picture taken with her and be in awe of her performance.
Well, that's a role that lends itself to.
Oh, yes.
Just like the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Well, she's beautiful, she's intelligent, and she's strong, and I think that may be one of the first Disney princess-like characters that I really remember that had that level of dimension to her.
It's true. It, you know, she was one of the first that ushered in the new era of the Disney animated film from, you know, the kind of start and the beginning of that era, you know, with Sleeping Beauty and Snow White and Cinderella and all that. And then there was the, you know, kind of break in animation. And then with Michael Eisner at the head of Disney, starting the rebirth of the animation series with Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, all those good things. And she definitely brought in a new class of role model, especially for young females, which are so hard.
People are wondering, and I should have researched it further, actually, but is this the Disney production?
This is the Disney production. Mm-hmm. So they did the animated film, which was in 91, and then it hit Broadway with the live-action stage musical version in 94, and they transferred all the songs from the movie. And Tim Rice took over for Howard Ashman because Howard Ashman actually died during the film production and wrote with Menken some new songs, which are part of the show and are really quite nice. And then from there, it ran on Broadway till like 2007 for over 5,000 performances. It's the 10th longest running show on Broadway. It's gone through several design changes. It was just recently here at Starlight, so it's still making the rounds today. It's still very popular.
Were you required by contract to do anything special because it was a Disney production? Is there anything they did not want done?
No, not particularly. They don't, as far as the legality aspect of it, as long as you say Disney's Beauty and the Beast.
Which I haven't been saying.
Hey, no worries. I mean, I think everyone
but I will.
Associates
everyone
that.
Everyone equates it to the Disney movie, you know. Even if you haven't seen it recently. Oh, yeah, Beauty and the Beast. But no, there's no particular thing that says, you know, you have to do this this way, or the rose has to look this direction, or the beast has to look this way. So they give you the latitude to interpret it, but there's still the level of expectation of what people want to see when they come to see it. So we still kind of fight, you know, that in our own heads as we design.
Yeah. So I would imagine then a family show, what age and up?
Oh, from like age 5, 6 up. I mean, it really is for all ages. If you would watch the movie, you would definitely enjoy the stage show. It is virtually a direct transfer, really.
Yeah.
With additional songs.
Yeah, you have a lot of responsibilities in this job.
I do.
Is it daunting at times?
It is daunting. But the good thing about it and the fantastic thing that I constantly remind myself of is that I'm surrounded by amazing people. I have great cast members who are so fun to work with, and you know, we have so much fun doing things. Wendy, this is her third show with me, and
I like him.
I like her too. I call her my spirit animal because she really is. And there are so many new people that have joined the show too, you know, who've never been at the White Theater before. But in addition to that, I have an amazing staff. I have an amazing artistic staff that's in-house, and I trust them implicitly. Some of them I've worked with professionally for 20 years, and it's been great to also see them accept the challenge and grow from it. And Julia Rass, our costume designer, was looking at various costume packages just to rent, and she's like, oh, well, just rent all the costumes, great. And she was looking at them and, you know, having difficulty with our runtime. She was just like, you know what, I want to build them. And I just kind of blinked at her and I said, okay. And, but she accepted the challenge. She has learned so much. She's taught me a lot as well. And even my knowledge has been tested and I've learned things too. So I think all of that together makes the daunting aspect of it completely worthwhile and rewarding, really.
Oh, well, I remember the first time I visited over there, I took the backstage tour.
Oh, did you? Oh, yeah.
And I was told, oh, well, this helps fly in. There wasn't any flying in the show I saw. We can fly in furniture like that. Well.
And that's the good thing, too, where, you know, the White Theater is 12 years old this year. We start our 13th year next year, which is a big mitzvah year. But we're a fully functioning, beautiful facility. We can actually house touring companies. We're that big. It's deceptively not known well. I like to say we're the hidden gem of Johnson County. We're a $13 million state-of-the-art theater no one knows anything about.
Oh.
But full fly system, state-of-the-art lighting, state-of-the-art sound.
It's
pit orchestra.
Wonderful. The Whites, were, I'm sure it probably wasn't just them, but the what was put in there is
exceptional.
It is of better quality than some of the professional places.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are amazingly lucky and blessed to be involved in it. And I mean, Scott Slabazzi, who's our arts patron chair, says, I have the keys to a Mercedes. Uh-huh. And it's true, because, you know, like my theater keys are the Mercedes of, you know, what we work in. So
yeah, it's an impressive place, and I'm sure it's a lot to take care of. And,
it is.
A lot to do with that. And you would know more than anything else.
It's surrounded by impressive people, too, though. I always kind of tell the story. The first time I walked in to pick up my script for Mary Poppins, I had no idea where I was going because it was a hidden gem. I had not been there before. And a delightful woman who was not associated with the theater at all, I simply asked, I need to find the box office. She was coming out the door. She stopped. She walked me all the way back through the J to find it. And I just remember thinking, goodness, everyone here is so delightful. And I still think that.
Yeah, that is the great thing. We are part of a community center, you know, so we have sports and fitness. We have a child development center for, you know, daycare. We have the J camp going on. So there's 200 and some odd kids running around. And so the smell of chlorine and, you know, suntan lotion is permeating the halls. So
he's trying to say that there's a pool there.
Yeah, there is a pool. There is a pool.
And you know it.
And you know it. But, you know, it's great because it's full of life. And there's so much that the J itself offers, not just a theater. And there are so many programs that are at the J. And it's not just for, you know, anyone who's Jewish. It's for everyone. Yes. And it's so inclusive and so welcoming.
Absolutely.
You don't have to be Jewish to become a member of the Jewish community.
No, actually, you don't at all. You can be any background, creed. I mean, it makes no difference. We invite everyone. We love everyone. It's great. And I think that's one of the best things about working there is that it's so inclusive. Everyone just is there for the love of being there and the love of people and what we do.
Sure. Well, I'm going to thank you both for coming.
Thank you.
Jason Chandley, who is the facility and production manager. Oh, what a job. Especially in a still relatively new, I know 12 seasons sounds like a long time, but it still looks new to me anyway, over at the Jewish Community Center at the White Theater. And Wendy Music, who plays the role of Mrs. Potts. You were Poppins.
I was Mrs. Banks in Mary Poppins, and I was Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, yes. That's right. That's
Mrs. Potts.
Yes.
So just a wide range of character choices.
All over. Show opens this Saturday, July 8th, runs through the 23rd at the White Theater on the campus of the Jewish Community Center. They're going to have, it looks like, 5 days off is all. Then it moves over to Theater in the Park for another run, July 28th through August the 5th, basically weekends for that one. Mm-hmm. So a lot to go ahead of time. So
yeah, absolutely.
You might even want to check out the indoor and the outdoor version to see if there's any difference. From what Wendy said, it doesn't sound like there really is.
They're minimal, but I think the
experience is different and enjoyable. I mean, having a picnic with your family under the stars gives you a different experience than being inside at the theater, and both are wonderful.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. The J, and the is in the title, thejkc.org, or the number to call, 913-327-8054. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you
for having us.
We're going to take a brief break. When we return, we're going to talk about another outdoor theater, Gladstone. They're doing Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And we'll talk about that and more when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM. And welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. A lot of people to talk to. There's a lot of people here from up north of the river, and we're going to talk to them and hear about the shows that they're having going on over at Gladstone Theater in the Park. I guess Willy Wonka opens this Friday, the 7th. And it'll also run the 8th and the 9th up at Oak Grove Park, which I remember is up by Oak Park High School. Very near there. I've been there, but it's been a while. And here to tell us all about it, I might even ask him about that famous blanket run or something like that. I've heard of that. It's people just like ready, set, go. Mass onslaught. Heads are nodding.
At 3 o'clock on performance days, people are allowed to bring their chairs and blankets out to the park, and we actually have a line drawn, and people stand behind the line, and they count it down, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and everybody runs and grabs their spot.
Yeah, There's YouTubes of that probably somewhere, isn't
there? Yeah, oh, yes, there
are. It might be worth checking out to see that as well.
But if you don't do the blanket run, there's still lots of really good seats.
Okay.
I've never done the blanket run.
Well, I'd like to see it sometime. Probably will. So we're going to talk today with Gladstone Theater in the Park about the two shows they have going on. Willy Wonka opens first. That opens this Friday on the 7th. And with us to hear us about, well, we're going to talk for a few minutes about this, the theater in general. Lynette Johnson is with us. She is on the Gladstone Theater in the Park. She is a board member, and she also plays the role of... Is it Grandpa George?
Grandpa George.
So we have some gender bending here in a couple of instances here. So you play a grandpa.
I play a grandpa. This is my second foray into a male role. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, it's nice to have a challenge, isn't
it? Absolutely.
And we know basically the story of Willy Wonka. We might go over that. And Julie Crawford is with us, also a Gladstone Theater in the Park board member. And she also plays the role of Mrs. Gulch. And the Wicked Witch, kind of a duel, and neither one of them are very pleasant.
Oh no, they're not my pretty. No.
Kind of goes in, but it does kind of take you into the psychological aspect of the show, which there is a lot of.
Oh yes, it's a wonderful role, and this version, it's the Royal Shakespeare version, and so the witch is kind of quippy and has some really nice one-liners in there as well as dastardly mean. So it'll be an interesting event.
Do you know the lady who played it in Raytown a couple of years ago?
No.
Oh, she told, when she came here, she talked about how she had always wanted to play the Wicked Witch.
This is my favorite musical ever. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're one character pre-Oz, and then you're another character post-Oz.
Right, and this is my first time to ever get to play Elmira Gulch, so I'm real excited about that adventure.
Oh, you've been the witch, but not Elmira?
Right.
Really? Why did they do it like that?
Because it's a different director.
Oh, okay.
Different directors have different visions, and when Dani gets up here to talk about Oz, I'm sure she'll tell you her creative vision behind that.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm very excited.
I will save that for her.
Thank you. All right.
It's the 30th anniversary.
30 years of theater up in Gladstone Theater in the Park. We started out just flats and had some microphones, and our first show was Oliver, and it was a wonderful production. And I was fortunate enough to play the part of Nancy.
Not a guy.
No, no.
You know I had to do that. Just couldn't hold back as well. So 30 years. Did you always do two a summer?
We started the very first year in 1988 was just one show. And we had, for our orchestra, we had a pianist. It was a piano player, Laurie Mayfield, who's been with our program all 30 years. And we had a very primitive stage built by Van Ibsen. He would haul the pieces out there and build the stage in front of the lake. We did that. The first year had about 50 people audition. It was so well received that year that they decided to make it an annual event, add two shows, and the North Star Community Band joined us the next year. So it's developed each year. It's bigger and bigger and bigger and very well supported by the community. And
and it's a collaboration between the City of Gladstone, Ibsen Dance Theater, and the North Star Community Band. So it's really a collaborative time for us.
Okay. Well, we could cover this later, but let's go over it quickly now. About what time should they get there? Where should they plan on parking? And of course, you have this blanket run at a certain point.
Right. At 3:00, they can put their blankets and chairs out, and they can choose to stay at the park and enjoy the facility, or they can just leave and come back later, closer to showtime, if they like.
Oh, there's no blanket moving going on?
No, actually, in all the years, I really haven't heard of any event
Good.
Like that.
Glad to hear that
And it's safe. Pre-show, if you're just going to come out, you can come out with a picnic, 6:00-ish. You can even come as late as the curtain starts at 8:30, so they want to be there in place by 8:30. It's free parking. And there's plenty of ample parking, and there's handicap availability. There's restrooms on site, concessions. So it's an all-incorporated
event. I was going to ask about concessions. Mm-hmm. Should they bring their own picnic, but they can buy concessions?
Right.
Okay.
The Gladstone Rotary has a concession booth up there, but they're welcome to bring picnic into the park.
And something we started just a couple of years ago, the Sunday night performance will be signed. We'll have an interpreter there. Uh-huh. And so then, so there'll be preferential seating for those that need to see the interpreter, which is pretty cool.
Well, sure. Funding is always important. Yeah. So you wanted to mention a golf tournament?
Yes. You've got all the information?
I'll give it to you.
Cool. Thank you.
So we're playing, and is it benefiting Gladstone Theater in the
Yes, park? It is. And this is going to be at Paradise Point Golf Course at Smithville Lake on Thursday, August 17th. And it's the 24th year for our tournament. And this is our biggest fundraiser of the year. So we encourage golfers to come out. If they'd like to get on our website, it's gladstonetip.com. All the information about that tournament is on our website. They can, people, if they're not golfers, they could be hole sponsors. We've got hole sponsorship opportunity. The entry fee per player is $110 or $210 for a twosome.
Okay.
So, yeah, GladstoneTIP.com. They can click on the golf tournament, and it'll give them every information they need to know. But it's August 17th, so.
See, guys would be out there playing anyway. They might as well play.
They might as well play for us, yes.
That's right.
Keep the theater going.
And some of them are quite diligent. You'll see people out there at 5 in the morning doing stuff like that.
They are.
Yeah.
It's a great tournament. We provide prizes. They serve food. There's snacks. It's a great tournament, one of the best-run tournaments in the city.
Okay, and it benefits Gladstone Theater in the Park. Okay, let's talk to my next group then. I guess that'll involve some shifting, I guess. So who's not here? Is Vanessa not here? Is that what you told me?
Yeah. Vanessa isn't.
Vanessa is not? Okay. So we have Ava Waleski.
Yes.
Forgive me.
Yeah.
You play the lead, Charlie Bucket. So you are also playing out of gender, shall we say.
Yeah. Yes, I play Charlie Bucket. It's been a really, really fun role to take on. It's actually not my first boy, but I do really enjoy taking on the boy roles because I think that acting's all about really stepping into somebody else's shoes and challenging yourself to be like somebody that you're not, and I'm not a boy, so it's been really fun to take on this kind of a role.
Well, I assume it's patterned almost directly off of the two movies.
Yes, it's more based off of the book in what takes place inside the factory. But yes, it's kind of your classic. It's roughly based on the Gene Wilder original movie with the five children. That everybody knows, the ticket, the whole tickets the Oompa Loompas.
If people haven't seen either of the two movies, one was with
Gene Wilder
and the other was Johnny Depp.
Yes.
And Johnny Depp admitted in an interview he was actually doing a parody of Michael Jackson, doing the character he did. Of course, in his Pirates movie, he's doing one of the Rolling Stones. Of course, yeah. He admitted that, but he knows him. It's Keith Richards, actually, who he said he was doing. So, but he's doing a parody of Michael Jackson. But I'm sure your Willie is not doing that.
No, he's not Michael Jackson. The person who's playing Willy Wonka in our version, his name is Cliff Hubbard. He's been in Gladstone Theater in the Park for some time now. Every Gladstone show that I've done has actually been with Cliff. He's been an excellent person to be in the show with. He is a lot of fun, and he's doing very well at his part.
And Charlie comes upon a ticket, which, just for the people who don't know, gets him away into the chocolate factory.
Yes, Charlie finds one of the golden tickets, and because he wins it, he and his grandfather, Grandpa Joe, get to go inside of Willy Wonka's famous chocolate factory. And while they're in there, a bunch of the other children who've also won tickets kind of meet their fates as they show their true selves, and Willy Wonka kind of weeds them out one by one in order to find his bright star, as he says, to inherit his chocolate factory. So in the end, Charlie Bucket and his family get to move inside of Willy Wonka's factory, and Charlie becomes the new owner of the Wonka factory.
Oh, sure. You shouldn't give away the ending, though.
That's okay. I would suggest, was the book was published in 72, and by that time I was in high school and probably thought I was too old to read the book. So I read the book, Willy Wonka and then the Charlie and the Factory. And it's a wonderful book by Roald Dahl. And it's a children's book, but there are lots of adult themes there. It's just a delightful. It's a really good summer read.
Yeah.
And there's always something that you can learn from Roald Dahl books. They're always very, very – the occurring themes in his books are always very important in everyday life, even now. You may think that they're children's books, but they have values and things that you can learn from them that are timeless.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Very well said indeed. Yeah. As Grandpa, you're one of you get to go in with her him.
No, I don't.
No.
I pick the other grandpa.
Oh my goodness.
My character, I can't hear very well, so I'm kind of the comic relief.
Yes.
I constantly am hearing things wrong. So
we don't discriminate on the basis of not being able to hear well.
So, that's right. So it's a fun part. The whole first act, the three grandparents were in bed, so it was easy to learn blocking.
I bet it was.
That was really fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a delightful experience. We also do have people fly in the show,
yes.
and so those special effects are very magical, which add to the character.
Does Charlie fly?
Yes. Charlie and Grandpa Joe in the fizzy lifting room, which is one of the rooms in Willy Wonka's factory, there is a drink that if you take even the tiniest sip, you will float on air. And they are a bit rambunctious and take a sip and fly with the bubbles in Willy Wonka's factory, and they realize that there is a fan that would chop them up, and I'm not going to give any spoilers. So,
yeah, that's always a good thing to do in show business. Yeah, don't give away the really good stuff.
But it's fun.
Yes, it's very fun.
Show opens pretty soon. In fact, it opens this Friday night. Are y'all ready for this?
We will be.
Tonight we add costumes and makeup. So each night at the park you add another phase of the program.
Last night we added microphones for the first time, and we had the North Star Community Band come and join us. And everything's really coming together now, and all in good time. We will be completely ready by this
Friday. Sure. Do you have any difficult numbers?
Yes, we do. One of the more difficult things about this show, I think, is our costume changes, because our director, Vanessa Campagna, is wonderful in that she wants everyone to be able to be in all sorts of numbers. And it's a very colorful and interesting show, so everybody has lots of fun costumes. We have our Oompa Loompas, we have squirrels, we have bubbles, we have all of their townspeople costumes. And because the show is set in the 70s, we've got some fun hair and some fun pants.
I'll bet so.
Yes.
I'll bet so. Look forward to seeing her. Ava Waleski plays the role of Charlie Bucket, the lead in the show, and Lynette Johnson, who plays the role of Grandpa George in Willy Wonka. And it opens this Friday. So now we're going to switch positions again. See, there's a lot of people here today. So we're going to talk to everyone. Julie is coming back. So we have now Danny Trebus, the director of The Wizard of Oz, the other show. Strangely enough, there are some parallels between the two shows, don't you think,
in some ways? Yes, I do. In terms of the script, as the Willy Wonka script follows the movie screenplay, so does this stage script follow the movie with... everyone knows that everyone's familiar with.
Oh, sure, yeah. And I think in terms of, Willy Wonka was thought of as this imposing figure, as was the wizard. So why do we look up to, and you don't have to answer this, but why do we look up to these imposing figures to guide us and tell us what to do? What does that tell us about ourselves? Well, maybe some things, maybe some other things as well. But you direct this. We spoke to the Wicked Witch earlier. So you decided to cast. I thought she was always cast the same way, but it sometimes is not.
No, sometimes it's not. There are different versions We chose this version, and I had read many other versions, and I've actually done other versions of this play. But when I read this, it was enchanting because it goes so close to the movie with Judy Garland that it gives that idea again of the immediacy of live theater. And I loved it, just loved it. This witch is like she said, clever, has some clever, quirky. She's a bit funny in her interpretation, as well as being something to a very daunting presence. So I like that juxtaposition of having, it gives her more reality, you know, that gives her more truth. I think the audience can identify a little more.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on this one. People have certain certain preconceived notions that they want to see fulfilled.
Absolutely. And when you see singing crows that are along with the scarecrow and singing trees, singing apple trees along with the Tin Man, it's quite enchanting.
Oh, those straw stealing crows.
Yes, exactly, and they're all eating corn, of course.
Yeah, five roles you have to have right on the button. Yeah.
Absolutely,
at least five, maybe six.
You could even say six. Yes. Yeah, you have to have a lovely wizard. Yeah. A wizard that can be a full range of very scary voice as well as being a very vulnerable man.
Yes. Yeah. And what is he really doing there? Why is he doing what he's doing? Mm-hmm. And again, psychological. And I read a book a long time ago by the movie's producer, Mervyn LeRoy. And he talked a lot about the motivations, what he wanted people to think that was behind what the wizard was doing, mm-hmm. as opposed to why the witch sisters. And there actually were sisters,
yes.
witches, which goes past a lot of people unless you really pay attention in that. And then we have the key role of Dorothy, and here playing that role is Julie Crawford. Is Laura Humphrey. Julie. Well, I don't know.
I get to be nice for once.
Do you ever think of switching roles for a night?
Well, we're just starting rehearsal tonight, so we can do that maybe one night.
Absolutely.
Yeah, do like the Marx Brothers did. They would sometimes, out of boredom, play each other's role. Like Groucho would be Chico, but they actually did that. You ever considered doing that?
I would love to play the witch.
And I would love to be Dorothy.
It'd be a lot more fun. But Laura Humphrey plays the role of Dorothy.
Yes.
Again, preconceived roles. They expect you to be a good singer.
Yes, there's a lot to look up to there. Judy Garland in that role is so iconic that you have to find a balance between playing the character in a way that suits you as an actor and suits the vision of the director, along with trying to not completely rewrite the role because it is so iconic. She's got to be young and naive, and you can't necessarily have a Dorothy that walks in and goes, I know exactly what's happening here, because everybody in the audience is going to go, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
So, but I'm looking forward to it. It'll be great trying to find our own version of...
And then, of course, there is that one particular number.
Yes.
Do you sing it exactly the way...
I do not.
How did you adjust it?
I think when you try to emulate somebody entirely, it's never going to be perfect. So I think it makes it even more so obvious that it's not when you're trying to emulate entirely. So I've listened to a couple different versions of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and I've kind of found a version that I think suits me best, along with not changing it entirely. It's such a beautiful piece, and it's so classic that it really lends itself to Judy's version, but... I've been listening a lot to the Royal Shakespeare's original cast recording, the London cast recording, and I like that a lot too. I do the intro a little slower than she does, a little bit more in time with Judy Garland's tempo, but it'll be fun.
Do you do pigtails and all of that?
I don't know yet. We haven't gotten that far into costume.
I haven't got into that.
I would assume that we're doing pigtails, but that's going to be up to Danny, who's also our costumer.
Because you have to look like you're, what, 16?
Yes, yes, and I am a little bit older.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything. Far be it from me for even mentioning that. But there's a certain look, I guess.
There is. There's that iconic look. And, of course, we'll have the gingham dress and the braids. Yes. But I did want to say that Laura has grown up with our program. She's been in the program since she was small.
Yes, I started Gladstone Theater in the Park when I was 7. I'm not going to tell you how old I am now, but...
I'm not asking.
But I've done over 20 seasons with Gladstone Theater in the Park. And it's been really wonderful to grow up there. I started at 3 with Ibsen Dance Theater, and so it was just a very logical step to then step into Gladstone Theater in the Park. As soon as I was able to audition, I did. And this group is a family, and your family changes every little bit every year, but it's the same. It just has this really great culture around it, and people come in, and there are no big stars and there are no small stars. And I think Vanna says only small parts, and everybody really owns that at Gladstone. So we're just all one big group.
And Julie is the Wicked Witch and Mrs. Gulch as well. And you really hate little dogs? No, tell me no.
No, I love animals. But
there might be an 8th character you have to have well cast, is the dog.
Yes. We're auditioning a dog right now.
Okay, very good. Since you open in a few days, I would recommend that. Let's get the basics now before we run out of time here. We're getting close to doing that. It's at Oak Grove Park, which is Northeast 76th and North Troost. And as I recall, it was just off of North Oak a little ways.
76th and North Oak.
Is that the best way to get there?
Yes, and it's just south of Oak Park High School, if you know where Oak Park High School is.
Okay. And there's plenty of parking. They should go. Is there parking for the park? Should they park on the streets?
Actually, there's parking for the handicapped on the cement portion, and then they park in the grass right there at the park, or you can park all the way. They have parking around the park, too, that you can park at. There's ample parking.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. GladstoneTIP.com. That's the website you need to go to. And Oak Grove Park, is at Northeast 76th and North Troost, just off of, what did I say?
North
Oak Traffic Way. Yeah. Up there, north of the river. It's still in Gladstone, though. Near Gladstone City Hall, as I recall. Up there somewhere.
Yeah. It's close. It's north of Gladstone.
Yeah, if you MapQuest things, 64118, but go to that website if you need to make your inquiries and find that out. The Wizard of Oz opens August the 4th and continues through the 5th and the 6th, all at 8:30 p.m. in the evening. Willy Wonka opens this week, Friday, July 7th, and runs through Saturday the 8th and Sunday the 9th, also at 8:30 p.m., also at Oak Grove Park, up there at Northeast 76th and North Troost, up north of the river. I want to thank all of you for being with me today.
And thank you
telling
for the
me all
opportunity.
About Gladstone Theater, but I haven't had you folks on in a few years, so it was about time. We have the Shakespeare all the time in the park. We don't always get to all the other ones, and I'd like to include them, but you know, can't always include everyone all the time. But thank you so much for being here and telling us about the two shows. Willy Wonka opens July 7th, and The Wizard of Oz opens August the 4th. Gladstone Theater in the Park up at Oak Grove Park as well for that. GladstoneTIP.com for all of that. Thanks so much for being with us. I want to thank Lynette Johnson, board member, plays the role of Grandpa George. Julie Crawford, board member, plays the role of the Wicked Witch. And Mrs. Gulch, equally bad. In Dorothy's mind, I can see where she confused the two. Ava Waleski, who plays the role of Charlie Buckets in the show. Lynette Johnson, who plays the role of Grandpa George. I guess I already mentioned your name once. See, she was in two different groups, that's why. Danny Trebus, who is the director of Wizard of Oz. Laura Humphrey, who is Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. And again, Jukli, who plays the Wicked Witch and all that. All talking about what's going on. Busy people. Busy things, especially you and you over there. Especially busy. Now, the director's job isn't absolutely... But we're not in Kansas anymore. We're in Missouri by about a mile, maybe 2 miles. All right. Thanks so much for being with us. The Jazz Geek is with us next. He'll be sitting in for the Jazz Insider. But you know, nothing really changes. It's still going to be some great jazz. They have a slight change in their jazz taste, but you'll find out. So we'll have jazz from 1 to 3. We'll have the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hoke. We'll see you next time.